You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about the spirits of the Smith County Courthouse with Mid-10 Paranormal founder, Stephen Denson. Well, I saw on your Facebook page that you had posted, come meet our new friends on the third floor. So Was that kind of... You're kind of getting some consistent feedback and activity that's happening just on that floor?
Yeah. So since day one that we've stepped into that courthouse and investigated, we've always interacted with a man named Jeff. His name was Jeff Jones. He said he had a box in the courthouse, which in the archive rooms, you have personal property of people's as well.
Oh.
Like family Bibles, pictures, Different things. And he said he had a box in the courthouse and told us the number of the box because everything's numbered. So we're looking, we can't find it. He says, I'm buried in the cemetery. And the cemetery is like literally 400 foot. Across from the courthouse. And he says, I'm buried in a cemetery. I said, okay. I said, well, we'll go over there tomorrow and find your grave. He was like, you won't find it. And which I've never been to that cemetery at this time. So I went over there and the cemetery is in like bad shape. Like it's just age has tore it down. And it's a lot of the tombstones and stuff are in shambles. And I was like, okay, well, it makes sense that we can't find him because we can't see nothing here. You know, it's all like little stones and stuff. But after doing research with the cemetery, a lot of the Union soldiers that with the battles and stuff here were just threw in a hole over in that cemetery and they were covered up. And some of your slaves were done the same way. And then you have your prominent people, like you, some of your judges is over there and things like that. But it's a very small cemetery. And so we go back, you know, more and more and more. And it's Jeff. And he wants women only on the third floor alone. He wants them alone.
So, that is so creepy to me.
Yeah. And like, so we started doing it, you know, sending my wife's been up there and stuff, you know, and then as time went on, we had a YouTuber, a good friend of ours. He's out of Mount Juliet, Kalani Ghost Hunter.
Oh, yeah, I've seen him. He posts some good stuff.
Yeah, and see, he has a documentary on the courthouse as well, and his wife, Savannah. So he called me one night, and he was like, hey, is the courthouse open tonight? I was like, well, it can be. He was like, I'm coming down. I was like, okay. So he come down. He was like, I want to see what it's about. I said, go for it. So he sent his wife up there, you know, towards the end of the night, and he's on the second floor, and she starts hollering and screaming, and like just the kind of like the panic look on him, because it's got an elevator in there, it's still operational. And it's got the stairwell as well. And he didn't know which one to take, you know, and he finally takes off up the stairs, and she's like, you know, I'm not going back up there no more. Something's grabbing me. I'm not doing it. But the whole thing was to test Jeff's theory. So he kind of proved that. And then I'm going to say a couple months later, I'm just at home doing nothing. I'm Googling more history, you know, trying to find something, because a lot of the history really hasn't been told. A lot of the stuff that went on in the courthouse was kind of swept under the rug. And it's kind of like you got to get it from other people or what people has told them, or because it's not in the books. So I'm just going through everything, any type of document I can find. And I find this thing called Jane, a Slave. So I'm reading on it, in which, you know, like I said, my house is like about a minute and a half from the courthouse. And there was a plantation one street over from me. It was called Cullum Mansion. It was a big plantation at the time. And our house sat on that land as well now. And so I got reading this thing called Jane, a Slave. The man that owned the plantation, his name was William Ballard. The slave was 15 years old. His name was Fred. And Jane was a 17-year-old female slave. The story goes, Fred took an axe handle and beat Jane with it one day. And this is like 1879, something like that, I believe. Fred took the axe handle and beat Jane. They told the master. Well, he whipped Fred for it, you know, as a punishment. And so Fred told the other slaves, I'm going to kill him tonight, which he did. He killed his master and then tried to tie rocks around his neck and throw him in the river. So they took him from the plantation to the courthouse. There was no trial, no nothing. They hung him on the spot for doing that. And actually, the front of the courthouse, like the pictures it shows now of the courthouse, that was never a door there. The front lawn was actually the back door, what we consider the back door now, that faces the river. So that's where they hung people. And so they hung Fred, and they thought maybe Jane had something to do with it. So she went on trial, but there was nothing done with her. She didn't get charged or nothing. So I read this story, and they were talking about Fred, how he was just vindictive, just mean, brutal. He hated women. And I'm like, that's Jeff. That sounds like Jeff to a T, you know, what we've gathered of him. So I told him, I said, we're going back to the courthouse, you know, we're going to find this out and everything. And we got a good team, real good friends of ours. Night Song Paranormal, and I contacted them. I was like, hey, y'all want to help us find out a story about the courthouse? And they're like, heck yeah, you know. So they come down, and so we all hit the courthouse, and what Jeff was, we basically told the story out loud, and we was like, we know, you know, you're not Jeff, you're Fred, we know you are. And ever since then, we have never got Jeff's name again. And he has actually admitted that he is Fred, which I didn't know this, but whenever a slave was sold to their master, that master could rename them. You know, if his name was William, you know, or whatever, you know, if that Fred thought, or if that master thought you looked like a Fred, that was your name, you know. So a slave carried many names, I'd say, you know, throughout their life. And I don't know if Fred was really his real name, but that's what he went by. So you kind of got to get under Jeff or Fred's skin to get him to open up to you. And when he opens up, he opens up to you. So us and Night Song have beat that courthouse on the third floor many a nights, and to get our answers that we needed. So that's where our new friends on the third floor, which is Jeff and William, come into play. Or Fred and William. I keep saying Jeff.
Fred and William. He's always been Jeff to you for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of, I'm not going to say weird, but unless he didn't want us to know his true story is why he told us that name. So I don't, you know, I still haven't really nailed that part down why, but that's the only reason why I think. And he's very jealous of Jane, because if you start with the whole, did Jane have an affair with the master and that's why you killed him, that's when Jeff comes out to play, as soon as you start mentioning stuff like that. Yeah.
What is the technique you like to communicate with them when you're speaking with Fred? Do you take like a medium in with you, or an Estes method sort of thing? What do you guys do?
We do the Estes method. My wife, she's really good at it. We have had a lady come in on one of our events that was a channeler. She channeled stuff, and she's been there a couple of times with us, and to see her like tell me history that's nowhere on Google that you can find about that courthouse, who was there, it's amazing to listen. But as far as us, we do the Estes method, but I mean, we're kind of old school. We go back to our recorders, you mm-hmm. know, let them tell their story through that, you know, through the recorders. Let's get answers that way. Let them tell us. So that's basically the way we do it, which we have a plethora of equipment, but we just kind of go back to the basics there.
I think that, you know, there's a lot of different things out there, but I couldn't imagine investigating and using all of it. You know, you've got your go-to things that you're most comfortable right. with, and that makes sense to me. And
audio and video at yeah. your basing, you know.
And that's so interesting that could be Fred, but it makes sense because he was a man who didn't have his freedom. So where's he going to go?
Right.
You know, he left this, he did not leave this earth in a peaceful manner. So I could imagine that maybe he's kind of stuck. He didn't.
And You know, to have him sit there and be so, I'm not going to use the word violent, but more of a pissed off, I'm going to say. You know, if you got drugged from your place where you stayed, you know, and you know, more than likely he was probably beat before he got to the courthouse.
And the man never had a day of peace in his whole life. You know, he probably was sent here to there. He didn't get a say in anything in his life. He was told what to do, where to be, how to do it. And
then abruptly hung, you know.
Yeah. Maybe I could see why he'd be angry.
Yeah.
You know, he was probably treated horribly. And I saw someplace too about a lady on the stairs.
Yeah, the lady in white. Well, that's what everybody calls her. Even that's one of the first stories we always heard about the courthouse from locals was the lady in white. Whenever, even when it was operational, they would always see this lady, and a lot of the, you know, workers there would tell us, you know, yeah, we've seen the lady in white, and we've contacted her a couple of times, and she is, which there is children there from what I don't know. I don't know how children got there, but everybody says the same thing. What's the kids? Why is kids here? You know, but there was a school close by, and I don't know if it's, like I said again, like a safe space for them when they go there, whatever. But the lady in white, she always says that she protects the children.
Maybe they're connected to her in some way, like her kids.
See, I don't know. And like everybody that sees her always says, like, she has the bonnet on. And so it's that time period. And I don't know if, because the history with pictures and stuff like that. So I know there was a school nearby. Maybe it was very close to the courthouse, and maybe they, I don't know what the whole children deal. Like, we'll get them and interact with them, which they, you know, if you set your equipment out, they like the lights and the sounds and stuff. And but I don't know their place there. Still today, I don't.
Well, if there are kids there, I like to think there's someone there watching over them, because with Fred, that he just doesn't seem like a kind soul at all.
Right. And that, you know, we always ask, you know, when we talk to her and she comes through and stuff, and with the lady that channeled, she would, you know, also confirm, you know, what we've known and never put out. She was like, yes, I am the protector of the children. I protect the children. But they always want you on the front lawn. Come outside, you know. And that's what they always want. So I don't know if there was a play area there. I don't know.
Well, and who knows what could have happened, you know, with the original courthouse that was there.
Right.
You know, there's got to be some explanation for it. Now, the Smith County Heritage Museum, is that nearby the courthouse?
Yes, that's just, it's walking distance. It's about as far as the cemetery is. It's just kind of downhill a little bit. It's actually behind the old hotel. And that's a new one to us. We've had a couple of teams in to investigate it, and I really haven't been putting it out much because, and like the courthouse as well, we haven't really been putting it out much because we're still traveling. We're still investigating ourselves, and I don't want to get married to it right now, you know? Because we're still doing our thing, and whenever we have the time and stuff, and we'll open it up to people. And that's why, you know, a lot of people really don't know about it. It's just word of mouth right now. So that's why if you, like, say on our Facebook, every so often we'll pop up, hey, we got to open tonight. You know, that's because we're not doing nothing, and why not, you know?
Yeah.
But the museum, it's coming along pretty good. It's just Carthage from day one. They have everything in that museum from day one to present day. And a lot of family items. The building itself was a garment factory. They made shirts, overalls, everything back in the day. And it's got the old school hardwood floor with the cracks in it, you know, and you can look and see all through that building sewing needles that's in the cracks. Like the man told us, he was like, we went through with magnets. We've picked out sewing needles all that we can. But you can still look and see the sewing needles and the cracks to the floor and from just where they dropped them or whatever, you know. But yeah, it's from the first church. They still got pews and stuff in there, Bibles, just people's belongings. And if you believe in attachments, that's where you're going to love the Heritage Museum.
Well, I was going to ask that because it seems like a place that perhaps the building itself is haunted. But then when you add in all these keepsakes and memories of the city and different museum type of things, you kind of think that could add some activity as well.
Yeah, because you have everything from Defford Bailey. He was a African-American musician that actually made it to the Grand Ole Opry, and all of his stuff is here, his instruments, his life. And we actually, Night Song Paranormal once again, was with us out here. And Barbie had got a EVP. We was just talking and everything, and she was asked about Defford Bailey, you know, yada, 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 asking questions, and they come across, and she had said, you know, along the line of, we're sorry, you know, if we're messing you up or invading your space, whatever, and it come across as, like, if you can picture, like, a time period voice, African-American man, I'm going to say probably in the 50s, 60s, he comes across and says, it's all good. You know, that's what he says. And he just confirmed, you know, that he was all right with her being in his space at that time, you know. And we've got shadow play out of there and a bunch of EVPs, and which I know it's active. We've done it, and I wouldn't have opened it up if it hadn't been, and which it's run by board members with the city. So it kind of puts money back into their reserve to maybe expand a little more or get more items or whatever, you know. But it, once again, it puts back into the city.
Right. Well, it helps keep the lights on and,
yep,
you know, takes care of the collection, pays the staff. And, you know, when you do those investigations, chances are that's when the building's sitting empty anyway.
Right.
It's not making any money at that time. And it's
always at night, you know, and, you know, a lot of people want to investigate at night. I guess it just, the ambiance of it, I guess. But, I mean, we've got courthouse broad daylight, you know, in which the courthouse, I would figure, would be more active during the day than the night, because that's when the courthouse was most used, was during the day.
Yeah, because at night there would be nobody in it.
Right.
It's interesting.
And so, and I know a lot with back to the courthouse, it was a lot of, I'm not going to say a lot, there was, I know of two deaths in the courthouse itself. the gentleman on the first floor. It was during like a Christmas parade. They were doing pictures with Santa. He was putting kids on the lap of Santa, and he fell out with a massive heart attack in front of everybody.
Oh, my God. How traumatizing for everybody.
I know. I thought, how many kids from that time period are grown now and hate Christmas, you know? Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Or the Christmas just traumatizes them.
Yeah.
But then there was a gentleman on the second floor. He was a trustee with the courts, which was, you know, this is more recent time period. He fell out with a heart attack on the second floor. It's just been a lot of heart attacks associated with that courthouse, you know, and there was a man named I.D. Beasley. He didn't pass away in a courthouse, but he lived at the Walton Hotel across the street, but that's where he worked. And he died of a heart attack at the courthouse or at the Walton Hotel. And it's, you know, you had Al Gore and his father, they all had offices in that courthouse as well. So it's been some power in and out of that courthouse. In which Al Gore announced he was running with Bill Clinton from the steps of the courthouse.
Oh, that's interesting.
And you had Cordell Hull, you know, U.S. Senator and everything back in the day, and Nobel Peace Prize, both of them, Al Gore and Cordell Hull. And there's a bust of Cordell Hull still in the courthouse. But you had a lot of power. You had death. I mean, a lot of lives were changed there. And then the museum, you have family heirloom, you know, stuff that, you know, if, you know, I got things that I would hate to get rid of. And if I died, you know, would they want to stick with it? You know, at the museum, mm-hmm. I don't, you know, if you believe in it, you know, there's something there. I don't know why, but there's something there.
Do you find that the more you go back, like into the courthouse, since you've investigated there multiple times, does it seem like different energy day to day, or do you kind of get to know the building better? You know, because it's almost like if you're scientifically researching something, you need to go back to the beginning. You know, it's like you're constantly looking at the same set of data, maybe, or trying to find something within that. And it seems to me, if you're investigating paranormal by investigating the same place, it would give you more information about what possibly could be out there.
And it really has. I mean, from day one till now, it's daylight to dark with the information we have, what we know now, your key players there, and the energy that place can, you walk in and you can just feel it. And sometimes it's like you walk in, you're like, where'd everybody go? You know, is anybody here still, you know? And it's like, you know, of course, it's paranormal is like fishing.
Yeah, true.
Sometimes you have good days, sometimes you don't.
And I think it was Steph at the McIntyre Villa in Atchison. We did an episode with her a while back, and she said that sometimes she walks in and goes, they do not want me here today.
Yeah,
and exactly. And she'll just leave, which I always find so interesting. Like, how can it change that much day to day? But she said things will happen.
And it's kind of like also if you investigate the third floor, knowing that you've just got under Fred's skin and you walk outside to lock the door and you look up and the lights are still on and everybody's in the car, you're like, crap. Now here I go. I got to go back up there by myself to cut the light off. You know, after we just got under his skin, pissed him off. Good, you know?
And then that momentary, yeah. Do I really have to shut it off? It's not going to hurt anything if it stays on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, it's good to leave the light on every now and then. Yeah.
And if he wants it off, he can shut it off.
Yeah. And Stephanie's place, we've done it a couple of times, and that's one of my good locations to go to. And I'm going to say one of my favorite locations, because that place is, I mean, you can walk in at any time. I know we have. And that place, you can just have a recorder out, and you'll get anything you want. They'll talk to you all day long. And it's Dress Right Dress out there. I mean, it's a beautiful place. It is. And then, as you know, quirky as she is, she's got some decorations outside, you know, year round, and it just adds to it, you mm-hmm. know. I guess it's like a homely feeling to her, but you know, and my wife is a lover of Halloween. I mean, our house sometimes looks like a, you know, a Halloween store, you know, and she's got tattoos, just always been that person that loves Halloween, and she'll have Halloween stuff out year round. And so I guess it's kind of what you want to make it, I guess.
And speaking there. Of your wife, with the four on your team and your one daughter, you're going to head out and do a little kind of, well, it's definitely not, it's not kind of, it's a paranormal road trip.
Yeah.
And go into several different locations in different states. Do you like to do that a couple times a year? And do you frequently go back to the same place like the McIntyre Villa, or do you try to add in some new places sometimes?
We'll add in new places. You know, if we are in the area and we know the location, yeah, we'll hit it again. But yeah, we have, I think we head out June the 9th, and we have events at McIntyre Villa the 14th and 15th. But from the 9th to the 14th, we got every night booked somewhere from Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and Missouri.
You guys are going to have fun.
Yeah, man. That'll
be good.
In the midst of doing another East Coast trip back up to New York again this year as well. And my wife didn't get to make the last one last year. We did. We started out at Gettysburg and Pennhurst and up through New York, all the way up to Niagara Falls and back down. And she didn't make it last year. Her father had some surgeries and stuff that had to be done. So she's stuck around with him. But we're going to plan it again and hit a couple of locations back up there again that she missed.
Now, if people keep an eye on your Facebook page, it's Mid-10 Paranormal, or you can go to the Haunted Smith County Courthouse Facebook page. And you do some public events, and so people can see when those are coming up. And then, like you were talking about, because I noticed that it's like, hey, we have this night coming up if somebody wants to investigate. So people can just keep an eye on those and join in or go investigate it.
Yeah. And if
so they could reach out.
A date they want to, just give us a message and we'll fit you in if we can.
Yeah. All that contact information is there. And that wraps up our conversation with Stephen Denson of Mid-10 Paranormal about the spirits of the Smith County Courthouse. For more information, just search Haunted Smith County Courthouse or Mid-10, that's T-E-N-N, Paranormal on Facebook. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything without the commercials, then you could become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or you can also sign up on patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.